you want to, you can turn to James. We're going to read in the 4th chapter. Read the 7th and 8th verse. I think we preached on this not too long ago, but we're going to read this and some other verses along with it. We just were lucky to come to church with their head on their shoulder. We forgot our wallet and our hankies. Got to preach twice today, but that's all right. James, the 4th chapter, in the 7th and 8th verse. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse ye hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Honey, I need you to get me some towels in the bathroom. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse ye hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Then it says, if you'd want to turn over to 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, the 22nd verse, it says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. We hear here in James where it talks about calls out, cleanse ye hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We find here, this is what James is telling these that he's writing to. He tells them that if you submit yourself to God and resist the devil, that he'll flee from you. We see here that the Bible says, as Peter wrote in 1 Peter, that you are to purify your hearts in obeying the truth. We often hear so many times, it says, and if you would want to turn there, we could go ahead and turn there as everyone prays. It says over here in Acts, the 16th chapter, in the 30th and 31st verse, it says, they asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That's a beautiful passage of Scripture. Then one more place we're going to read. It's in the 4th chapter of Philippians. You know, there is no new thing under the sun, the Bible says. That was wrote a long time ago, but I know it's true. But you know, sometimes things are harder in one generation than the other to do. You know, I imagine idol worship in certain generations in the within the nation of God was a lot more easier to do. There were certain times that if you was going to do it, you had to hide. And then there was other times when it was all around you. Oh, you know, the hearts of men are such that there's been idolaters, there's been idol worshipers since the beginning of time. We know that man himself, that he worshipped himself first. You know, the devil, that he would like to receive the praise of men. He would like to be worshipped, but you know what he preys on? He preys on the idol of oneself. That's what that he would have each and every one of us to do. And we know that idolatry has been since the beginning of time. That's what the devil appealed to man with, that you could be as God. And as he told Adam and Eve there in the garden, Eve, and then as she told Adam. And you know, I'm afraid today that though Adam fell, not because he was wanting to be as a God,
but I believe that he idolized his wife, and he seen her, and she said, take of the fruit, and he loved her, and I reckon he loved her more than God himself, than God, and so that he partook in that sin. But you know, so it is today. We find that maybe it's a little bit harder to obey maybe one commandment in the Bible than our forefathers had to do. The Bible says in Philippians, the 4th chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Why would anybody want to think on things that are good, that are true, that are pure, that are righteous, that are of a good report? The Bible teaches mankind that we are wicked, that the heart of man is desperately wicked and full of deceit. So why then would man want to think on these pure things and do them? It's because it's those in accent that she must believe in Jesus Christ. We live in a world today where there is an easy believism. All you got to believe, all you got to do is believe in God. And I'm here to declare to you, this is true. All you have to do is truly believe in Jesus Christ. But this world has been successful in separating an idea from the Word of God. We find today that there are people as ignorant as they've ever been of who Jesus is. But if we could just go back to, as it were, the book of Acts in the days and the implications of what it meant to believe in Jesus Christ. He was one crucified because he said he was the Son of God. Can we separate that from the name of Jesus? Men who've done that today. But I'm afraid that each and every one of us need to get back to God's Word, and we would see those that truly believe in Him and believe that He is the Son of God. Why? Because He said so. His words declare that He was the Christ, that He was the Son of God. Can we separate those words from all the others? Not if we truly believe. Because to truly believe that He is the Son of God is to believe His Word. And if to believe is one word, is one account, shall we not believe in them all? So then, if a man was to come and try, as it were, to purify himself, as we read in 1 Peter, purify your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Listen, if you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, and you go, I don't know why anyone would, but if you think, as it were, that all you have to do is obey the truth through the Spirit under unfeigned love of the brother. What truth is Peter talking about today? We live in a culture where what might be true for you ain't true for me. But there is an alternate truth. It's not an opinion, and it's not an ideal. I had a fellow go, tell me today, or this week rather, that after all, creation is a theory. Because I told him evolution was a theory. And I said, well, it might be a theory to some, but it's the truth. It's God's declaration to the world that I am created you to bring me praise. You might not believe it. You might count it as a theory. But the Bible has told us this so that we might make decisions. I told him that life is a test, an open book test. And God gave us His Word. But He said, when I said, well, the Bible says it and it's true, Him and the man, they looked at me, and him and another man looked at me and said, it's just words. Yeah, it's not true. He said, all right, if it's true, the Bible says that God would not give a man more than he can bear. He said, what about this man that killed himself? There was a man at work, and he received a phone call that his father had killed himself. Listen, God said He'll not give us more than we can bear. If I was to go tell you to climb a mountain and give you all the equipment that you need, a safety rope, an ice pick as it were, like mountain boots, and you choose to label us and try to traverse that mountain, you would fall and slip and die. Could it be fair to say that I did ask you something of you and didn't acquit you? That it was because the man chose, as it were, to leave. God has made a way, and all we have to do is to truly believe on Him. He's given us His word. What a foolish man would be to think that he, because if a man was just trying to attempt to do as it says here in 1 Peter, to purify your soul and obey the truth, if you're trying to do that without the Lord, you'll soon find out that it can't be done. But aren't you glad that those that truly believe in God, Christ Jesus, don't live in a vacuum, that our beliefs affect our actions, just as we said, whatsoever is God. Listen, we live in a culture today that makes it a little hard sometimes to think on these things that the Lord has commanded us. Years ago, when we without all of our forms of communication, there was a time that in America that people gathered around the radio, and that's how they heard their news. Before that, there was papers, and sometimes you'd get the town paper, and there'd be news in there months old. Do you realize that in early America, that there was people that didn't find out who was elected president until months after he was elected? Why? Because they lived in such a remote area. And you know the heart of man being wicked. There were people way off in the woods somewhere, all by themselves, and they were still thinking of those sinful things. But today we're filled with all forms of communication. We've got the radio. Now there's still telegram. We've got the telephone. We have the television. We've got the internet. We've got cell phones. Listen, there's not a place hardly you can get away from the commuter. Sometimes I tell you, our fellows, do you good just to turn it off. To free up your mind. And we have it all around us. And the Lord has given us a commandment, as it were. Was it a commandment? Paul was telling the Philippians here how to do these things. Why would they do them? Because they believed. Isn't it sad today that we live in a culture that says simply all you have to do is believe? But because of the culture that we live in, they redefine the word believe. Then years passed, to say that was to throw a weight on someone of heavy significance. To believe in Jesus Christ. To believe His words. To believe He's the Son of God. To believe that He would save me. To believe that He would deliver me from sin. To say all you must do is to believe was to truly say a mouthful. But today, unfortunately, there are those
that we define the word of belief, and it is nothing more than an idea in their mind that will go no further. And I'm thankful that those that truly believe that God will pick them up. When He said to the blind man, "Dost thou believe in the Son of God?" And what did the blind man say? "Lord, show me who He is that I might believe." And He says, "Thou lookest upon Him." I want to tell you, to a blind man, those were wonderful words. The Lord didn't tell a blind man, "You're looking on Him." But He told a man that was blind. That's what our Lord will do if we truly believe in Him. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to, stumble around in the dark. But He has given us eyes to see for who He is. He said, "Purify your hearts through my word." And we leave the word on the table. I want to tell you, there might be those that say they believe without reading His word. But all that truly believe will read His word. Why? Because they believe His word to be true. Listen, when we fell in love with our wife or our husband, was it not because of who they were? I wanted to live with my wife. I wanted to marry her so that we could spend a lifetime together. I loved her so much. I can remember we went canoeing, and we sat on the gravel bar, and I began to tell my wife, or my girlfriend at the time, what my desires were, my hopes were. And I could see her looking at me. She's a lot younger than me. And I could see her looking at me. And I could see, as it were, a bewilderment on her face, because she hadn't thought of these, she hadn't had as long to think on these things as I did. And I can remember looking back at her, and I just wanted to know what her dreams were, what her desires were. Why? Because I loved her. Who can be here today and say that they believe in Jesus Christ and not have the love of God in your heart, and not to want to know who He is, but not to want to see what He has? And you know, that's what's wonderful about food and about spices. And you can have a good meal. My boys, I don't know, sometimes we get on a kick, but since I come back from India, eating all that hot food, and now their food's so hot that you start eating a lot of it, and old Darrell's begins to get the gag reflex, not because it tastes gay, but because it's just the fire sitting on my stomach. It's just it's just how it is. My body, it's almost like an allergic reaction. But since I've come back, I like hot things. Not that hot. But we got honey? That pepper sauce. Tabasco sauce. I see guys years ago put that on their eggs at breakfast. And I thought, who on earth would want to put that on their eggs? And I still won't put it on my eggs. But we've been able, these last few weeks, to fall in love with that little bottle. It makes it, if you just use a little bit of it, kind of warms it up, even when it ain't warm at all. You can put it on something in your microwave and it'll warm up the cold spots. Oh, why? Because if you don't use too much of it, it'll bring the flavor out, as it were. And you can take a bland dish. We had a man come from India. He said, "Your food's good, but it's just so bland." We didn't give it no thought. We heard how they liked hot food. And Mama, she was there, and I think she had some Louisiana hot sauce. And I can remember as a kid growing up that my mama, she would put green peppers in her meatloaf. And I'd pick them out. I hated them. But you know what? Just being up next to that green pepper, it made that meat taste bad. If it wasn't as strong, you could pick out all those green peppers, but you still, that meatloaf had that taste of a green pepper.
My dad didn't like hot peppers. They weren't hot peppers. They was just green bell peppers, and I'd pick them out. But I sit there and I watch the man, and I imagine meatloaf when we was over there. There was nobody serving meatloaf. Now this is, I don't know where it came from, if this is an American dish or what. But I watched the man take, he got several helpings. It made us feel good, didn't it, Mama? Because it was, we seen him in, you had a guest over and they just pick at the food. You just wish you had them something they could eat. And he put a little bit of that in his plate and he dipped his meatloaf in it and he ate it. He said, oh, that's really good. He was having trouble getting it all evened out because he'd have his meatloaf gone and he'd have a little bit of salsa. So he'd get a little bit more meatloaf and then the salsa would be gone. So he worked on it there for just a little bit and it made us feel so good. Now that we seen that he was enjoying eating this, and I'm sure it wasn't as good as what he was used to, but he had found something that Mama had in her cupboard that we don't normally, I don't know how old that bottle of Louisiana hot sauce was, but it's not something they use too much, but he enjoyed it. Oh, if we could just realize what the Lord has in store for us. And I'm not speaking in the life here to come. Oh, we could preach 100 years on that. But I'm talking about what he has in store for us tomorrow. If we just got to know him a little bit better. If we would think on those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely. As I get older, I was laying in bed last night and I was thinking about all that the Lord had done for me. Because I have a confession to make. We went down to the barn last night. We weren't really, I'm ashamed to admit this, but we really didn't have a heavy burden over anything. We just went down there and we said a prayer and we thanked the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing God that I don't have much to pray about. Ain't that sad? I didn't say that. But that was kind of our fault. We went up and we read some on prayer and then we went back down to the bar and we prayed. And I was thinking to myself that maybe I didn't feel the need, the earnest need I'm talking about where you pray a prayer, where you affectionately, fervently pray a prayer, because I hadn't been thinking about those things that are true, honest, just, pure, and lovely. Because you know what, church, if you get to start thinking about those things, boy, you get homesick. You know, I've seen wedding dresses, and it's real popular. I guess they go in cycles, but that ivory color of a wedding dress, it's not a pure white, and it's beautiful. You get it out in the sun, it's kind of made out of satin, it shimmers, and you can say, that is, look at that bride in that pretty white dress. And then you let somebody come in there with a Navy uniform on. Those white clothes standing next to them, and you say, boy, now that's white. I'm afraid sometimes because we live in such a corrupt world that we don't think on those things that are true because we live in a world full of lies. But you start thinking on those things that are true, and you'll see that we have much to pray about. Well, we hear so many people. I heard this is kind of funny, but we're always goofing off at work and shitting a lot of times. There was one fella. One thing leads to another, you know. And the old saying, "Give the devil an inch and he'll take a mile." Oh well, you know that's the way a lot of fellas are too. And I can't remember all the details about it, but. It's not important, but at some point, a fellow was messing with another fellow's toolbox, and the man had some candy in there, and he got the candy, and he handed it out.
And he come over to me and he handed me a bag of Skittles. He says, "You like Skittles?" I said, "Yeah." And he handed me a bag of Skittles, and there was another man standing there, and he says, "You like Skittles?" He says, "Yeah." And he handed that, and the fellow says, "What, are you running for election?" He said, "No." He said, "I just had a few of them." And, you know, I thought, I wonder if maybe if the vending machine messed up or something and he got more or something. That's what I was thinking. And I took them home and fed them to my kids. Well, that night the man seen that. And he seen my co-worker eating Skittles. The next day he come over and come. He opened up his drawer and there was none there. And he remembered, "Why, I seen Dave eating Skittles." He come over to me. See, I put mine in my lunchbox because it was for the kids. He come over to me. He said, "Wasn't Dave eating Skittles last night?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, all of them were going on my box." He automatically thought David took them. And I had to make a confession. I said, "Well, so-and-so gave them to me and Dave." "He did." He said, "I can't believe he would steal out of there." And what had happened was, in fact, the vending machine had messed up. And instead of them being 55 cents, they were 5 cents. And he bought a bunch of them. He says, "That's one thing. It's one to horse around, but to steal something out of a man's box." So he went to that man. And he said, "I cannot believe you'd steal." The guy says, "Oh, they cost you 5 cents. You got them out of that machine." And the man said, "I did not. I bought a bag of them." He come back over to me and went on and on about that stealing. And I said, "Can I say something to you without you getting mad?" I said, "You know you go to the same place for lying as you do stealing." "Well, I just didn't want him to justify what he'd done by the fact that I only paid 5 cents for it." We live in a society where to be honest doesn't matter anymore. We'll even lie to prove a point. But if we think on those things that are wrong, the things of God, we will see that we need to pray. Oh, we can find peace in the fact that there are still those things that are true. There are still those that are honest. Whatsoever things are just, the more you think on those things, the more you'll see the injustices that are taking place in this world. And you'll know beyond a shadow of any doubt that we have much to pray about. Those things that are lovely. You know, I was laying in bed and I was thinking about my childhood and that it's just not as clear as it once was. I'm only 37. Some of those memories just aren't as vivid. You know why that is? Because those things that I'm thinking on aren't no longer something that took place 10 years ago. But there's something that took place 25 years ago. Oh, it's so easy, isn't it, to forget about those things that are true and honest. Those things that are pure. Those things that are lovely. And those things that are just when we live in the world that we do. But because we believe in Jesus Christ, let us believe His words. Because we can't have one without the other. All the world has tried it a million times. We've seen her in the past. Just look at the Dark Ages. And you'll see people that believed in an idea, but had no knowledge of His Word. For His Word wasn't written in the common language. And if you asked them if they were a Christian, if they believed in Jesus Christ and in the church, they'd said yes. And the only comprehension they had of who Jesus was is what the priest told them. The only comprehension of what they had, what was in the Bible, is what the priest told them. But look what the Lord has given us. And we still have some fabricated idea of who He might be. When we stand before God, He'll ask us this one question. If you believed in me, why didn't you love me? Why didn't you have a hunger to know who I am? And then and only then will we discover that we did not believe in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. That we had believed in an idol we have fabricated in our own mind. Let's get some songs sing. See, I say that today because there are those that say they believe in Jesus Christ and they're drunkards. They say they believe in Jesus Christ and they're drug addicts. They say they believe in Jesus Christ and they have killed. They have not only killed one, but they've killed. They are serial killers of the worst kind. And we live in a culture that says, that questions it not. And the only time they do is to bring a mockery to God and not to a mockery to that person. See, that's what we have now. Now the sinner man mocks God because those that say they believe and know not whom they say they believe in. And then those that want to be justified in their sins say, look, they believe, I believe, we all believe, we'll all be right. Not realize that there is a test in this life. That this life, in fact, is a test. An open book test. God has told us who He is. And He said that we must believe Him. He has recorded His words. And He said, we must believe Him. Can we believe in someone and not believe what they said? Can we believe in someone and in some of the things they said and still yet say that those other things they said were not true? Well, yes, in fact, liars tell the truth. But honest men can't lie. And Jesus Christ as the Son of God was perfect in all things and all of His words were true. So therefore we must believe them all. Go ahead. Well, Daryl, when I come to the Lord, I didn't know what half the Bible said. That's where the Bible speaks about that word. The word, the truth, how it purifies. When I come to the Lord, it was just like when I got married to my wife. I didn't begin to know who she was. But the longer I live, the better I understand my wife somewhat. And the longer we serve the Lord, the better we'll understand who He is. And sometimes it's quite confusing when we, as a young Christian, begin to understand how the Lord works. But I love Him. And I believe Him for who He is. And we simply obey Him because we believe.